That would probably be evolution. So my advice is just try as hard as you can and just dedicate yourself to it if you really love it. Luckily, more players know my guitars and we work together, and that's really beautiful. That's what I enjoy more these days.
Hi everyone, this is Francisco. Today we have the pleasure of welcoming back Daniele Chiesa.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. We have a long-standing collaboration with Daniele, and today he brought not one but two guitars for us, so we will discuss about them a bit.
Sounds good.
So Daniele, tell me a bit about this new concept that I'm holding in my hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the anniversary model. It's a Nomex double top guitar. And I've been making this kind of instrument for the last 4 years. It's taking more of my development time. Because being a newer model, I'm discovering new things and trying new things. So for example, this guitar compared to the last one you had, that was also a cedar double top, already incorporates a few changes. Mostly the sides on this guitar are laminated. So it's not one layer of rosewood, but it's two instead. And the bracing on this guitar is slightly different. So the distribution of the fan brace is still a fan brace design, but the distribution, it's a little bit more asymmetrical. Oh. And it's six fan braces instead of five, like the normal guitars mm-hmm. I make. And I did more work on the structure of the fingerboard, that it's one of the regions where I'm doing more work on these new guitars.
Hmm. Why did you choose to do an asymmetrical bracing?
I find that regardless of the distribution of the braces, even if they are symmetrically spaced, to make the structure asymmetrical with thicknesses and different stiffness on different regions enables the instrument to avoid more easily certain problems you can get, like dead notes, wolf notes. Mm. On a very symmetrical structure, it's easier to develop some problems in that respect.
That's very interesting. I did have the feeling as we were trying the guitar before that it was very, very even across mm-hmm. across the fingerboard. And it was also very comfortable. Where are the developments in the fretboard then?
Yes, this one of the basic idea of this model, of the anniversary model, is to be able to work neck and fingerboard in a different way than the traditional guitar. One of the limits of the traditional Spanish construction that I found through the years is to shape the fingerboard on the guitar. And you mostly have to do that if you use the very traditional Spanish construction. But with this kind of structure, having a little bit of cedar under the fingerboard in this part, I can prepare the surface of the fingerboard before I glue the fingerboard, so I can do some specific work on the fingerboard that is technically better outside of the guitar and then apply it on the guitar, even if it's a Spanish construction. So the neck in this guitar is not glued to the body, it's integral to the structure of the instrument, but yet I can glue the fingerboard last.
That sounds like a lot of work, or very intense work, no?
It is, yeah. Oh. First, just to think about it, how to do it, and yes. then to actually do it.
Yes, it's a technical challenge, yes. I can imagine.
Yes, but at this point, I've been doing this for 30 years. It's nice to have some challenges also. Otherwise, it okay. would be boring.
Okay, I will deserve the 25th anniversary then. you were also saying before I started rolling the camera that you have closed this guitar from the top.
Yes, that's also one thing that I'm trying lately, and this is one of the first one I do like this. I found it interesting on traditional guitars, but specifically for the double top, I think it's one key part to be able to have a very stable and resilient structure. So by gluing it last, I eliminate any small tension you can add to the top by doing it the traditional way, gluing the top to the sides and closing the back. Then you're accumulating little by little more and more tensions on the edge of the top. And double top being more delicate, you accentuate this kind of tensions, and it's a way to do away with these tensions, and you can actually see it, not on camera, but if you look at the shine of the top, you can see it's really relaxed all the way to the very edge.
Yes, you can see that the edge follows the curvature.
Yes.
Without any
bump or deformation. Yes. And again, it's a lot more work to do it that way, but it's also a challenge, and it's satisfying.
Yeah. You will probably not hear it, but you might notice that I have to keep my hand on the strings so that the guitar does not resonate. I'm afraid that it will get into the microphone because it's a very, very responsive top. And at the same time, very clean. The sound is very clean. I noticed that there's no mud in the... Although it's super responsive and develops very fast.
Both cedar by itself, so the wood, even if it's a solid top, and also by using it on the double top, even more because of the construction of the double top and has less mass, so you accentuate these problems. You have to be careful not to get, as you defined it, a mud or a certain undefined response. Even if you play some chords, they get all mashed together, and these kind of things. In this guitar and on the traditional cedar guitar, it's one part of the development where I had to pay extra attention.
Amazing. And then the last detail I can see easily. Okay, actually, first the beautiful rosette, which you have already explained previously. You might well see the previous interview from Daniele if you want to learn some details about this beautiful rosette. We'll leave them to them.
Yes.
But inside the guitar, I see that you have varnished the back and the sides of the guitar.
Yes, on this instrument and on the one of the previous ones also, it's a tool that you can use in order to balance the response of certain frequencies. And in this case, because cedar by itself wants to go on the darker side, and double top also might want to do that even more, then to have a shinier and more polished interior, not the top. I didn't apply shellac to the top, but back and sides, the interior gives you a little bit more brilliance that might be over the top on this kind of instrument, that on purpose I leave a little bit rougher surface inside, so it's bare wood and not very finely sanded on purpose, not to overemphasize very high harmonics that can translate in overemphasizing nail noises or string noises. On this is the opposite, so I use this finish on the inside in order to balance it out a little bit more, with make it a bit more similar to this kind of instruments.
Okay, well, now then it's a good moment to speak about a bit about the traditional model. So here we have the sister of the double top, which is a traditional design. And please tell us a bit about it.
Yes, this is more a traditional design as I've been developing for more than 20 years. And the lineage of this kind of instruments traces back to the days I moved to Granada. So the structure, you can see inside many elements and references to the Granada style of guitars. On the other hand, again, it's more than 20 years of development for my own taste and the way I want to work with players and what they need. And so this guitar, I know this better. It's more familiar to me. So for good and for bad. So it's more familiar and I feel more secure working with these instruments. And then it's a little bit less exciting also because I know them more than these instruments. But still, it's not the same as a 10-year-old guitar in this style that I used to make before. So on the inside, there's a few changes, but it's...
It's a 5-pound, correct?
Yeah, 5, very simple, 5 with a cross reinforcement under the bridge, thin one and low one, so the fan braces go on top of the of the cross reinforcement. So it's not a Boucher design, it's the cross reinforcement, it's 2.5 millimeters.
Ah, okay.
It's thin.
It's very thin.
Yeah, and the fan braces go on top, they're shaped to go on top of the reinforcement. And nothing else, 2 bars here, and the structure underneath here, it's a newer development in the last few years in order to maintain the traditional character and the colors you can get from a traditional spruce top, but at the same time I try to improve and maximize a little bit the evenness of sound of this part especially, and then generally the sustain you get throughout the instrument. So those two things are important to me, but because they are also important to many players.
Yeah, well, this is the most difficult part, yes, I guess, of every guitar, the upper octave. One thing I noticed in this model is that it has a lot of colors, and usually I found that to be the case for a bit stiffer guitars that require you to play a bit harder. And this guitar is not so stiff, it's not so hard to get those that vast variety of colors out. Is there any design choice that helps that, or?
Yeah, on one hand, working on a very specific model and a very traditional model, as I said, for 2 decades, then you can refine all these things and get to the point where if you like the ability to produce different colors, then you slowly, little by little, get to a very satisfying point. So that's the fruit of it's simple by itself when I make it, because the structure is not complicated inside, but the combination of everything, the way I know how to put it together in order to get this result, that's the fruit of 2 decades of work. And the other part is in this specific case, what you mentioned about the tension and the colors, it's also because it's a 64 scale. So between this one and the 65 sister to this one, the 64 has this a little bit more, this combination of not too stiff and enabling you to produce color very easily.
That's very interesting. Do you also change the body for the 64 scale length?
Yes, the shape of the body is the same as the 65, but I design all the elements of the guitar with geometrical structures, so it's not copied or just drawn freehand or anything like this. I prefer to start by drawing proportions and then from there having triangles and circles design the whole thing, this part, the whole size and position of the elements, and the shape of the guitar also. And so in this case, I tend to work always with a 3/4 size body relative to the string. So this one being 64, the body is 3/4 of 64. On the 65, this one, the shape is the same, but the size is slightly bigger. and it's still three quarters of a longer scale.
Okay, after you got the design down, you just
I can
make
scale
a proportional,
it.
You scale it back.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. Brilliant. And here, contrary to the other one, I see the finish is not as fine as on the...
Yes, and that's for the spruce guitars that I make, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has different criteria and methods and everything. In my system, for the spruce guitar, it's very important for me to not over finish back and sides in order not to, again, overemphasize those very high frequencies and very high harmonics and make it too bright. It's almost brittle, and it can be, first of all, a little bit annoying as far as the kind of sound, and then also becomes harder for the player, because you can really hear, even by playing it, that it's not forgiving for any imperfection or the attack. If it's not completely good, it's replicating everything. But then again, in this case, we have carbon strings on this guitar. It's the Knobloch set that you use, so the first three are carbon. And many players prefer to use carbon strings. So if you have spruce, that it's already quite clear, and then you make it a bit more clear, and then you use carbon strings, you have the attack and speed and everything of the carbon string, but then it's too much.
Yeah, I can imagine. So a bit more coarse finish on the inside.
Yeah, it helps.
Absorbs some of this high frequency.
Round out the sound, yes. Oh, and just a quick note on these kind of things. They're not, in order not to fantasize about these things and just make plausible statements, that it's very easy to want to do that. All these kind of things, you do really need a lot of time to do it, but the only way you can actually get to a meaningful conclusion is to make side-by-side guitars. So that's why it takes many years to refine these small details, because first of all, you have to be certain with yourself that you can replicate something if you want to. That's step one. If you cannot make two guitars really similar, then if you make some changes, you really don't know what's happening. So first step, you need to be able to work consistently. And it took me about 15 guitars, 20 guitars, to get to the point where I could actually control consistently from one to the other and make them very even if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that, then you can start doing parallel guitars. So you need to make them at the same time, because if one is newer, one is older, all bets are off.
Yeah.
And then you make them at the same time. So, for example, 264 spruce, and try to make them very similar. But at one point, you change something. You want to try and see how the finish of the inside affects the sound. You only do that different. Everything else, you leave it the same. And possibly, many times at the beginning, I actually did two control and one change. So then the two control have to actually be more similar between them. So then if the change guitar is different, then it's not certain, but the probability that's your change that made that different is higher.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, all these small details, they can sound like fantasies or stories, but behind them, there's actually a lot of work.
Yes, it's great that you clarify this, because it's very easy to make grandiose statements
exactly.
Or that can sound like that.
Yeah, and on guitar world and in the world at large, it happens. So it's good
yes,
to specify these things.
Absolutely. And, well, your approach is definitely scientific.
Yeah, or how to say it? Empirical.
Empirical approach.
Yeah,
based on, well... Yeah,
it's the first step of,
of the scientific method.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
We're getting philosophical.
Yeah, because in guitar, I'm convinced that the system is too complicated, and that we as maker have such limited tools that it's really difficult to use the word scientific in a meaningful way. So that's why I say empirical, because you try to adopt the scientific method all the way until you can.
Yes, yes, true. Very, very humble, but also realistic. It's true, this is too complicated of a acoustic system to reduce.
Yeah, especially by a luthier. Or,
by yourself, or, yeah. Yes, yes, yeah. True. Daniele, thank you very much for visiting us and inspiring us.
Thank you very much for having me here, and thank you very much for watching. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.